SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Monday and gloriously beautiful yet again. Bottle this summer. We don't have to worry about Del Mar. We know it's going to be like this in Del Mar every day, mostly. We can't say the same about upstate New York when the scene shifts to Saratoga, as it will a week from Friday, and downstate on Saturday. If there could be a more delightful day at a racetrack, I don't know. It was so nice at Belmont on Saturday. Nice, robust crowd throughout the place. All over, from the backyard to the balustrade behind the building, around the grandstand, on the apron, up the stretch, in the clubhouse, everywhere. It was so beautiful, and knowing what kind of a race day it was going to be with the stakes sequence, there was just a great atmosphere. Not to take away from things like Belmont Day and Triple Crown excitement and atmosphere. The Belmont at its absolute best when there was 15,000, and it obviously it could comfortably hold three times that. 45,000, 50,000, makes it a very brisk day. But this was just idyllic. And then they started to put horses in the gate. And they let you bet on it, If that may come as news. It was just tremendous. We will try to get to, it's not even practical to believe we're going to get to everything over this back end of July 4th weekend. Delaware, Arlington, we got to go back to Friday night, and Prairie Meadows. It'll take a couple of days to do this, and in particular, because there is the sale, we should mention, it's the start of the yearling season tomorrow. Phasic tipped in July. Today is the Horses of Racing Age part of the sale. We'll check in with Nicole Russo at about 10:45, and we'll get a snapshot of the Racing Age sale today, and then the first yearling sale of the season. And of course, they'll come to Saratoga. In fact, last week they released the Saratoga Select Yearling catalog over the weekend, the New York bred portion. People planning their trips up, as you heard, for instance, Steve Haskin talk about. So there are some people, Rick Violette among them, that are at the paddocks today looking at yearlings, or in Rick's case, looking at some racing age types. And it could start anywhere, I suppose, but was there a better performance than Diversifies in the Suburban? I didn't see it, and I thought, there'd be enough pressure from maybe Dr. Door, maybe War Story, to make anybody that wanted to be on the lead vulnerable. Diversify. If there's, for those that know the term, racehorse time. This was a jaw-dropping performance, and it got everybody, I mean everybody, roots for Rick Violette and Ralph Evans. As nice an owner, he and his wife Lauren, as nice an ownership couple that there's around the game, and this was just an eye-popping effort. 159-4, and like a tremendous machine, frankly, just rolling along on the backstretch, and anybody that tried to probe him and tried to get to him was left in the wake, and that included War Story and Dr. Dor, who chased Zanotti, who chased, and they ended up the back half of, in fact, War Story was last, uncharacteristic. Dr. Dor, ninth. So you can't pretend that Diversify wasn't rolling along and setting fractions. Going a mile and a quarter, 23-2, 46 flat, 109-3. And when the 109-3 went up, you had to think, well, he's never, he can't possibly. Can't possibly. One of those horses, you know who this, it just occurred to me. This was kind of a Game On Dude, right? Kind of a Game On Dude-esque visual. You know, when he would get into the rhythm, into the beat, ends up, with a career best figure, gets a 110 buyer in this, and just wins off by six, seven, eight lengths, and as he pleased. And you gotta square enough 6-1. And there were plenty of people who if you thought Diversify was going to be able to control, and there were people obviously for him to go off at 6-1, which amounted actually interestingly to the fifth choice, because the betting, and it was a very unusual day. We'll get to the odds drop in the Dwyer. That's got people just disgusted and frustrated with the batch betting and the way in which the money comes in late, moving odds at the last second. We'll get to that, but in here it was really interesting that you could see that the public was struggling, because between Taprit, Opportunity, Dr. Dor, and War Story, they were separated by a dollar. Quite remarkable, actually, to have that concentration of pricing. And then you had Diversify at 6-1 and 8-1 on Take Your Guns. So you had an unusual six horses under 10-1. And nobody less than basically 7-2, give or take. Taprit, $3.30, $3.40, Opportunity, $3.75, War Story. Dr. Dor, $4.40. And then 6-1 on Diversify. Tremendous, just a tremendous performance. Rick will join us tomorrow. We'll talk to Rick 9:30 tomorrow. And looking forward to it. Rad Ortiz aboard Diversify, and good, as is typical, the Ortizes. A very nice effort. Rad was aboard Firenze Fire in the Dwyer Stunner. Not a surprise, Firenze Fire won. But the way in which he did it, the turnbacks, he and Nobelindi. We'll get to that. Let's talk about, one other note in here, in this Suburban. The Lieutenant. And the Warrens were on hand in New York. And it was great to have Mr. and Mrs. Warren, Michael McCarthy in town. He had Paved, of course. Talk about the Oaks in a second, and the Lieutenant, who has really, really put it together. It took him a long time. The five-year-old Street Sense, half brother to Justify. Now, multiple graded stake placed. And, of course, the graded stake win at Golden Gate, and he is still moving forward. Really an example about patience and mature five-year-old horses, and he was terrific coming along to be second, and he was well clear. And I got to mention it because it is notable. Uriah St. Louis, a discreet lover, a horse that is campaigned aggressively, also a five-year-old, a son of Repent, is now over $800,000 in earnings, third in here, and yeah, just reels off. You can count on him running a mid-90s, 90 to 95 buyer. In fact, the 98 in the Metropolitan when he was fourth, he always goes off at a big price, and he always runs hard and tries hard. He was third in here, and I thought that was notable. Opportunity, it was kind of chugging along. Whether he needed the extra quarter mile or whatever coming out of the Brooklyn, but it is funny how he has a tendency not to be able to, you know, to win back to back. Opportunity. He spreads his wins out a little bit. So Baffert's impressive Belmont numbers take a little dent. Dr. Dorr was, I mean, for him to be 9-2, that was kind of quiet on the board, and he really never, you know, expected him to be sitting second behind Diversify, and it didn't happen that way. The three-year-old filly and boys race on the grass, the features, the Oaks and the Derby, $1 million for the girls and $1.2 million for the boys. And we'll talk to Jonathan Thomas at the bottom of the hour, and looking forward to it. Thomas, the Catholic boy analyze it rivalry is, you know, now becoming epic, and who knows where it continues to go. Catholic boy gets out under Castellano, establishes the early lead. They went slower than the girls did an hour earlier, and Catholic boy, it looked like he was going to be swallowed up, and analyze it, gets ahead in front, couldn't really power away, and also Hunting Horn, Ryan Moore, of course, had beaten the girls earlier with Athena. Hunting Horn kicked outside, tried to rally, looked like he might get to the pair, but no. Catholic Boy and Analyze It put on another show like they did in the Pennine Ridge. And Catholic Boy extends himself again when he looks beat in the shadow of the wire and gets a clear head in front. Unbelievable. And a big win for Bob LaPenta. And LaPenta had, you know, Bob LaPenta, all the success for many, many years with Nick Zito. Then got into a period when, you know, things kind of went sideways for his racing interests. Tried a couple of different trainers here and there, and, you know, continues to, you know, come at the game aggressively, and rewarded with Catholic Boy, who is starting to now pile up the wins. Got back on the grass in the Pennine Ridge, of course, and, you know, after the issue that, you know, gave him an opportunity to freshen up and a little bleeding incident, he's really on a nice roll now. And for Bob LaPenta and Sal Cumin partnered in as well, Sienna Farm and Twin Creeks. but principally for Bob LaPenta, you know, wearing with the horse wearing the familiar maroon jacket with those gold epaulettes. Unbelievable. Just an absolute thriller. First grade one for Jonathan Thomas, who's really marching along, doing great. And in fact, on Friday, if you think back to last summer at Saratoga when he sat down with us and we talked about a Recchietti wires that nightcap on Friday. I did not have him on. I was live for nice money, for four figures, actually, on Friday in that late pick four. And a Recchietti, who, you know, we certainly have followed since Jonathan, you know, told us about him at Saratoga last year. I didn't have him on the ticket. And I was kicking myself. The going was tough on Saturday, I'll tell you that, both at Arlington and at Belmont. We'll talk about all of the surprises and the huge performances before we come back and talk more about Belmont, Athena winning for Aiden O'Brien. Of course, I think it was Haskin on Thursday that talked about, you know, her Ascot effort and the coming back and running again after Ascot, and she was tremendous. And the, you know, the dialogue had been, we all kind of assumed, or, you know, were handicapping with the assumption that, you know, if there was going to be Euro success in the Belmont Oaks and Derby, it would come in the boys' race. But that's not the way it turned out, and the girls will have to regroup. We'll talk about everything that went on behind Athena. Limousine Liberal Ben Colebrook will join us after Jonathan. It's so easy to congratulate and be happy for Catherine Ball. KK Ball and her family and Ben Colebrook, they get that elusive New York win, and they win and they're in for the sprint. And of course now you just back yourself up from the Breeders' Cup. The Balls are really wonderfully, wonderfully nice. So we'll talk about Limousine Liberals' performance as well. Yesterday, huge upset. If you didn't see it, I got to it late. Tina and I went to the Bronx Zoo, but on the way home. But Eddie Coletti, how about that? Dixie Serenade, longest shot on the board yesterday, and it's a $50,000 carryover Wednesday. Maybe the 3-year-old fillies on grass got beat, but how about Red Ruby? Did you see the Delaware Oaks replay? We'll get to Kellen Gorder. That was unbelievable. She backs up that effort in the Black-Eyed Susan with an absolute jaw-dropper in the Delaware Oaks. One of the best performances of a 3-year-old filly on dirt this year. We'll go through the Chicago. We got so much going on here. I'll tell you more about it when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the St. Matthews, tell them Tom Durkin. Try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole. Mr. Wickham. He's
horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't understand the people of the day.
Let me set the stage for some of the other things today because we got a couple of notes. I mentioned the sale, the July sale. We'll check in at about 10:45 with Nicole Russo, and we've got a bunch of things to talk about, and we'll have to do it quick. She's got about 15 minutes for us. There's the Racing Age sale today. The yearling market starts tomorrow with the July sale, the release of the Saratoga catalogs, and a piece of news that I just didn't, you know, last week was insane. We did not get the chance to talk about the changes that Keeneland announced. And this is interesting that, you know, what they're doing so for the fall. So we'll have all of that with Nicole Russo. I've been promising the Drew Mollica visit since Thursday, but we were so busy Thursday and Friday. So we'll get Drew today at 11. Drew Mollica and you know, the really admirable circumstance that Billmont absolutely, you know, dug his heels in and has done horsemen and owners a great service in terms of changes that have been affected by his, you know, standing up to the Gaming Commission. And Drew basically, you know, saw the legal elements, you know, through from the start. So Drew's going to explain what was at stake here and the long-term benefits. So we'll get Drew in as well. Johnny D, top of hour two, anxious to talk to Johnny about the last couple of weeks. And also about the firecracker contest on Express Bet on Saturday. So we'll look at those results as well. We'll set the stage for the summer action at Del Mar and Saratoga in addition. And as we like to say, much, much more. The Delaware racing, which was really good. The Oaks, and of course this week they'll turn right around and have the Del Cap. the grade one. Speaking of Bill Mott, elite headed there. But looking forward to a visit with Kellen Gorder. And we talked to Kellen after the win in the slot, but you don't know. I mean, what does that tell you? You know, the Black Eyed Susan win. You know, she'd won the Martha Washington. She had kind of a nondescript effort in the Honeybee. It kind of feels like a filly, and look forward to talking to Kellen about this, that appreciates time between starts. And he took his time after the Honeybee with her. She turned in that tremendous effort in the Black Eyed Susan, and then put in, you know, some time. I think you know, some of the, you know, some people that were tracking 3-year-old fillies, they wondered, you know, where is she at Belmont? Why didn't she partake in the Acorn? Well, she was looking for this, and she was absolutely spectacular. 3-5 and ran like it. Yeah, Coach Rocks. You know, obviously, you get beat 13 lengths. You know, your horse doesn't even know that they finished second. And she chased Red Ruby home that day at Pimlico, too. But on a dry, fast track, you get a much more, you know, reasonable idea of where these horses, you know, stand. There's not all that much to learn when you get a soupy track like we had in Baltimore. This was really impressive. And the Tisnow Filly for Sandra Sexton and Brandy Nicholson, she's a serious filly now. Not that she wasn't before this, but she really put herself squarely in the 3-year-old filly picture. And we'll talk to Kellen about where they go from here. Coaching Club American Oaks probably a little too soon. We'll see. We'll see what he thinks. I mean, if he's spreading out starts for her, there's really not a lot to, you know, beyond her. Coach Rock's a good second. Mo Shopping made kind of a menacing move for a minute, and you know, and then just was able to hold third. And that was, you know, that was the anchor of a nice day of racing at Delaware. Oh, Dionysus said it to Dunleavy on Friday. I didn't have too many insightful calls over for the weekend, but Oh, Dionysus, different horse now at the midpoint of the year on grass, and the Bodemeister gelding for Marathon, their homebred, or actually this is not a homebred. No, it's not a homebred. But Oh, Dionysus sets a course record in this mile and a half, Cape Henlopen, Alex Cintron aboard, and certainly Vintage Matters, Dickinson for Gallagher Stud, ran a very nice race. I mean, you set a course record and you get beat ahead. And, of course, Gallagher Stud, it's a New York outfit, New York bred. Tricky Escape, Lynn Ashby. This was a nice performance. Chris DiCarlo, they win the Robert Dick Memorial. And did it, you know, with authority. Lynn Ashby for owner John Marshall. Dickinson second here, too, with Giovanna Blues, a 20-1 in the Dick. And Jessica Krupnik. Didn't you go to summer camp with Jessica Krupnik at Robindell up on Lake Winnipesaukee, right? Jessica Krupnik, 13-1 for the Uncle Mo Mare over Lake Pontchartrain, 27.80. Trey Abbott for Sycamore, and nice performance. The five-year-old mare, Trevor McCarthy aboard in the Dashing Beauty. And so this, we'll see what Trey is going to do. Take an opportunity to go from here. You got the Satin and Lace at Presque Isle. and then the Laurel Dash in September. Those are the next two races in the Philly and Mare Sprint Division for the Match Series. So, plenty to look at with Delaware. This was a nice day of racing, and they'll follow it up next week as well with the Del Cap. We'll do Case. Let's stay right here and grab Jonathan Thomas so that we don't fall behind, because there's a lot to get to today. The one of the other things that we'll get to, and hope to have Doug Anderson later in hour three. Go back as we wait to connect with Jonathan. Go to Friday night. And, of course, Friday we talked about the Iowa Oaks, the Sailorville, and the Distaff. And Ricardo Santana Jr. and Steve Asmussen dominating. On Friday night, the Derby, High North, Brad Cox, and Cox, of course, had won the Sailorville on Thursday. But on Friday night at Prairie Meadows, the performance that, I mean, beside, you know, High North wins, Dean Wilkes wins with the son-in-law Chris Landeros. They win the Iowa Sprint. But the night belonged to Doug Anderson, Alex Berzer, and Remembering Rita. And we had that conversation Thursday with Bob Nastanovich. And Doug Anderson has had an unbelievable meet at Prairie Meadows, the Cornhusker, Remembering Rita. This was as cool of a performance and win. It had a special mid-American racing that harkening back even to Exarbin and that whole arena, to have a horse like this win this race. And I just couldn't have been happier. He was in great position stalking Dalmore. They went very evenly, and you could see he was just traveling great. Berzer waited as long as he could with Remembering Rita, who then took over and wins well, 41-60. And there was a lot of, you could see there was an outpouring of appreciation for Doug Anderson. Just his second graded stake win of his career, 20 years in the game, and has been winning. He's had a small string forever, and wins consistently. Looking forward to a conversation with him. And Alex Berzer, that's only his second career graded stake win. And he's got 3,200 wins. A journeyman's journeyman, Alex Berzer. And he's won riding titles and a consistent performer. And this was a really one of those broad smile type wins. Another one of those was the first grade one win for Jonathan Thomas. And the Catholic boy, analyze it, rivalry. Now it's a rivalry. And our friend Nick Hahn in Virginia, he's saying it's Sunday silence, easy goer on the turf. We need a third round to anoint it to that level. But for Jonathan Thomas and for Bob LaPenta and partners, a very special win. Jonathan Thomas joins us. Congratulations.
Morning, Steve. Thank you.
Jonathan, you just have to, at some point, kind of marvel. It was one thing in the Pennine Ridge with the trouble and the re-rally, and this was just shoulder to shoulder, as good as it gets.
No, it really was. I mean, I think I watched the first mile and an eighth as a trainer and the last eighth as a fan. It was just, an incredible stretch run. Analyze it ran huge. You never expect those sort of outcomes, or, you know, that sort of grit, and so you're kind of put in that pressure situation, or the horses. So, you know, we're very proud of them.
When you prepare for this, and if we think back to our conversation after the Pennine Ridge, you know, you're going a mile and a quarter, and you know, to some degree, it's really no different than the circumstance you deal with on the dirt. Thinking about a race like Derby, and even earlier in the year when you're stretching your horses from a mile to a mile and an eighth, expectations going into this, and anything that you do to try to enhance his stamina to do the mile and a quarter the way you want him to.
I don't know. We could be wrong, but I don't really subscribe to that. I think that pedigree and basically their mechanics and their efficiency and how they move and ultimately their brain will help you get a distance. I don't think there's much you can do as a trainer to make a horse get a route of ground through a training method, you know, other than getting them to relax. You know, that's when pedigree and efficiency set in. Just like if a horse is not fast, you're not going to be able to train speed where it doesn't exist. So, you know, to us, we're more about keeping a horse happy and carrying good flesh and, you know, more just sustaining some energy. So, I mean, I'm sure their guys are much better at, you know, training that stamina part of it, but we don't try to outthink ourselves there. If a horse is kind of predisposed to it through pedigree, I think pedigree really dictates that.
As the day came into fruition, and as you were watching, particularly the girls' race, was there anything in there and the way they went, and in your conversation with Javier, he was on Fatal Beret when it came to the Oaks, was there anything strategically that was coming up? What were your expectations going into the race, and did they change at all when the girls went the way they did?
I got to be honest, Steve. I mean, I only saw the last 8 mile of that race just because we were getting ready. But no, we didn't really watch that or really use that as a template for what we were doing. I mean, going to the Pennine Ridge, we had a very clear plan where we were going to go to the lead. This time around, we had no plan, and we were just going to let Javier ride off a gut and instinctually. So we honestly, we had a very brief conversation just about, you know, good luck and, you know, that kind of thing. But we honestly talked zero tactics. We just said, you know, at this stage, Javier is riding tremendous, and he always, you know, he has been for a while. So we just let him do his job, and he executed it to a T.
You bring up, you know, styles, and things have evolved, and obviously started his career on the grass, flirted with, you know, the dirt opportunities that, you know, as a 3-year-old after the Remsen win. For him to win on the lead now twice in a row, is it just circumstance, or, you know, what about him at this point in the middle of his 3-year-old year? Has anything changed, or is it?
You know, physically, he's, you know, turned into a little bit of a stronger animal, and you know, I think he's figuring out racing, and for whatever reason, he seems to be, you know, breaking just a little bit sharper, and he seems to be putting himself in those positions. You know, obviously, at a mile and a quarter on the turf versus the dirt, or a mile and an eighth, obviously the pace scenario is quite different on the dirt. They're going to go a lot quicker, and, you know, he doesn't possess that kind of speed, where on the turf, I mean, I think if you're capable of going a, you know, 23 or 24 early on, you know, you're going to find yourself very close. And that's just what he's done, you know, through evolution, physically and just learning as a racehorse. So, you know, we're not really about standing in their way. I mean, if a horse wants to do something, we try to accommodate them. So, you know, if he wants to put himself in that spot, that's fine. And if he were to break and want to sit out the back and didn't want to get chased in a race, where, you know, it's the same thing. So it's more just what he's kind of evolving into.
Well, we'll talk about what he's going to evolve toward in a second. Talk about watching the race unfold. Your thoughts about his gameness and what it means to you and to Bob LaPenta and the team, grade one like this.
You know, we were really happy with how he came out of the Pennine Ridge, and we thought he was training up to that race well. And, you know, our thoughts during the race, you know, we just thought Javier was executing things really well. And the last eighth of a mile, I mean, when you get into a dogfight like that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I think that's where the horse really shows up and you know, kind of, you know, they get in a position to showcase what they're all about. So we're really proud of that. And Bob's been very patient with us, bringing him along. And he's never questioned or second-guessed any of the moves we've made. And, you know, when you have an owner like that that allows you to take care of the horses, you know, good things can happen like this. So, you know, it's really a team. You know, you have John Panigot, who not only is Bob LaPenta's racing manager, but he's also Javier's agent now. So, I mean, he's played an enormous role in this. You know, sometimes those guys don't get enough credit for what they do, but when you have a guy that's good, and I think he's the best, you know, he's been a big linchpin to this whole thing.
Well, it's been exciting to see, you know, what has gone on with you, and we think back to the summer, because Arequiete won on Friday. And you know, there's been this group of horses, and of course, you know, you helped Taprit get ready for his career as part of your work at Bridlewood. It does feel that you're now in complete full swing, and as a horseman, Jonathan, and it's really been fun to watch.
Well, I appreciate that. It's been fun to, you know, take part in. This is, you know, why we work hard and try to make all the right moves. But, you know, it's fun to have your hands on these kind of horses and develop a plan, and, you know, see it come to fruition. And Lord knows it doesn't happen that way a lot, but, you know, when it does, it's particularly special. But, you know, we try to approach things very simply, where it's horse first all the time. And that's kind of, we've got a very good team, you know, that it's horse first. And you know, it seems more often than not, if you take care of your horses, they'll take care of you. So, you know, we're not in any kind of rush, and try to stay out of the way and just let them, you know, do their thing. So, you know, between great clients that, you know, allow us to do our job, and ultimately the good horse flesh that we are able to work with, I mean, that's really the recipe. I'm just a small spoke on a very large wheel.
Well, it's nice of you to take that in a kind of humble approach. You know, we even when you were kind of out of sight and you were working at the farm, and we talked, knew that this, you know, this kind of success was going to be in the offing. Let's talk about one horse that is going to make a career debut tomorrow. Mo Freedom for Bob LaPenta as well. And this is an Uncle Mo colt. We're going to be at Presque Isle. And came up from Florida, got a drill in at Saratoga. And how ready is he for the career debut?
I think he's ready. You know, typical of some of these Uncle Mo's, he looks like a horse that's going to appreciate a little bit more real estate. He breeds fine on the turf, fine on the dirt. You know, we have a poly track uphill gallop at home, and he's always gotten over that well. So it's more just getting a nice, quiet kind of route-oriented race under his belt. And this race actually came up before the condition book came out for Saratoga, so I'm not so sure I wouldn't have diverted him to something here, but it seems like a good stepping stone. You know, so we'll just kind of see what he's all about. You know, I don't think he's, you know, kind of the disposition first out winner, but, you know, maybe out there he's in good company, and we'll see what happens. So we're just trying to make sure he gets some real estate ahead of him and gets time to get into a good rhythm. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you got one of my absolute favorites aboard, and Willie Martinez is going to ride.
Yeah, so, I mean, Willie, and this was a while back, and you know, intermittently he ran a couple starts a year, you know, had a couple little horses to run every now and then. And Willie actually rode my first winter at Tampa, you know, quite a while ago. And good energy, good rider, good journeyman, you know. And thing I love about him, sometimes you'll get to these, and I'm certainly not discounting any of the smaller places, but, you know, it's nice to have someone that'll throw a leg over a first-time starter and give them a confident ride. Sometimes that's not always the case, but I know with Willie that's what's going to happen.
I love it. And I kind of root openly for Willie Martinez and for you, Jonathan Thomas.
That, Steve.
Not at all. This is first of many. The Grade One Belmont Derby and Catholic Boy. Where's he headed next? What any formal plan?
You know, I think secretary. All options are on the table right now. I mean, obviously you have the secretary coming up in 5 weeks, and you've got the Travers coming up in 7, and you've got the Saranac in 8. So, I mean, I think the most important thing is just seeing how he comes out of this race, and kind of we've always let him tell us kind of what the next move is going to be, and I'm sure he'll let us know here in a few weeks. But, you know, he's had two stout races, you know, in a 5-week period. So, you know, I tend to be conservative, so the more time I have with a horse, the better. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
You mentioned, you said Travers. Mentally, the dirt, a return to dirt is, does it feel?
I mean, I don't think you can rule it out. I think you have to let the scenario kind of play out. I don't know who's going where yet. You know, if Justify returns to the work tab and looks like he's pointing towards it, that's going to be a big barometer on what we do. You know, if Good Magic goes to the Haskell, you know, it just kind of depends on who's sometimes this time of year, it's a matter of who's left standing. And if we're, you know, in a good spot, I think we have to take a good look at it just to be fair to him and to our clients. You know, and I'm, listen, if it rains and it's a sealed track, I'm not so sure he wouldn't handle that really well. So I think it's going to be folly to rule it out at this stage. And, you know, so, you know, I don't want to be in a spot where we discounted it today and then we get there and all of a sudden it looks like something that we could have made a little impact in. So, you know, we'll let him decide and kind of the scenario.
Fair enough. In the meantime, Catholic Boy, you know, back in full swing, and the Grade One Belmont Derby win, great midseason highlight. Jonathan Thomas, continued success.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it.
We enjoyed being able to congratulate Jonathan. And, you know, when he went out on his own, he started, of course, he was a Pletcher assistant, and the job at Bridlewood, which really has been a fabulous springboard for him to, you know, build some client relationships and then build the and fashion the, you know, the barn that he has. Really a terrific story. Take a time out here. Speaking of another assistant, kind of in the same mold, Ben Colebrook, going to join us next. Limousine Liberal, the elusive New York win, and might be back later in the summer for the forego. But the entire team, Colebrook and the Balls, they were already looking forward to Breeders' Cup. The photos hadn't been developed, and that's what they were thinking about, running out of their own stall come Breeders' Cup sprint day time. Back after this with Ben Colebrook. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Used to keep it cool, used to be a fool, all about the bounce in my step. Watch it on the news, what you gonna do? I could hit refresh and forget. Used to keep it cool. Should I keep it light, stay out of the fight? No one's gonna listen to me. If I write a song, preaching what is wrong, will they let me sing on TV? Should I keep it light? Is that right?
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and Ben Colebrook joins us, Colebrook Racing on Twitter, of course. And for Ben Colebrook and KK Ball and the Ball team, a elusive New York victory, and they weren't as demonstrative as they were at Churchill. A little more subdued watching Limousine Liberal rally, and it was adventurous. One of the day's best races, and an absolute thriller. Ben Colebrook joins us. Congratulations on Limousine Liberal's win in the Belmont Sprint Championship, Ben, and a Breeders' Cup win in your in ticket.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on. It was a great day.
You know, this was such an unusual group, Ben. When you looked at it, it felt like there was going to be, you know, maybe a couple of horses in terms of pace setting. Shaft of Light, you figured. I thought I Love Lulu might fight for it. Lewisfield, you kind of thought would be close. But I wasn't sure if there'd be enough pace to set up, you know, the horses that wanted to stalk or close, including you and Whitmore, and favorable outcome. Some thoughts about what you were looking for and what you may have wanted Jose to do in this spot.
Well, you know, the initial plan was we were going to probably be a little closer than maybe the way it played out. But obviously, you know, that first quarter goes in 22 and change, and then they go 44. So it's like they, you know, I mean, they really picked it up you know, the second part of the race. And Whitmore being ahead of us was kind of a shock, really. I thought we'd probably – I kind of thought, you know, the three speed horses you said, and then I thought we'd probably be in front of more front of Whitmore in favorable outcome. And we were just – from the one hole, we were just trying to get clear, you know, try to get to the outside because he seems to – Limo always seems to – you know, he seems to be better when he's kind of – at least early on in his career, he seemed to always be better when he was in the clear. But maybe now we'll be wanting the one hole. I don't know. But, you know, and then the kind of, you know, when Santana goes for the hole and the chain reaction that kind of set up, you know, I kind of thought before that happened, I was like, you know, when soon as Jose uncorks him, we're going to be fine. And I think he lost, you know, he definitely lost momentum and he probably lost, you know, maybe a length or two right there, plus the momentum that he loses. And he's such a big horse. You know, he's kind of like a freight train once he gets rolling. You just don't want to see him lose momentum in a spot like that. But luckily, he got re-rallied and got the job done. You know, kind of just at the wire and then going away in the gallop out. But it was pretty impressive performance, really, considering the kind of the chain reaction and in the stretch that occurred.
Well, and even on the turn too. I mean.
Yeah,
there was potential. It's funny, we were watching the replay after the trophy presentation, and until they showed it, I didn't realize, what do they say, small field, big trouble, a six-pack of horses on one of the biggest racetrack in the country, and yet, you know, here we are with all kinds of, bump and run.
Yeah, I guess it just just the way it's set up, everybody's kind of still had some horse left, it looked like. Nobody was backing out of there quite yet right when it happened. And then obviously the two horses that, you figured were going to be right there ended up still being there. So, I kind of thought on a class by class, Whitmore and Limo were probably, definitely the class of the race. And, the other horses were very nice horses too. But, I think the two, we've run against each other a couple times now, and they've gotten the better of us, once, and then this was kind of the rubber match. So, it's just a neat, kind of turning into a neat rivalry with the two horses.
Very much. And, in terms of Limo, now six, and with the opportunity to compete not just in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, but the Breeders' Cup Sprint at Churchill. And I think back to you winning the bet on Sunshine. He was a horse that was a seemingly a cut below the best sprinters of his era, but he finished third in two Breeders' Cup sprints and for Paul McGee. And Limo has that same feel, and knowing that you're going to compete back in the Ville. It has to be a very good feeling, and knowing that you can just plot your trip home ultimately, talk about looking down the road.
Yeah, that's kind of, we've kind of had this plan in the works for, since, kind of really that we knew the race was in our backyard at Churchill. I mean, we got lucky having a Breeders' Cup, once in his career at a home track at Keeneland. But at the same time, he's only a three-year-old, and he was only, he's very lightly raced. And, at that time, it was probably a little bit of a bridge too far, even though, home field advantage. But, when you're running, a three-year-old that's, just not quite as seasoned against, even though Run Happy, a three-year-old, won the race. But, he was kind of Run Happy, there's, once in a, I don't want to say maybe once in a lifetime type sprinter. I mean, that horse was amazing what he was able to do. So, to have a chance at another one in our own backyard is pretty, special and lucky. But we've been, we've kind of been targeted in this race for quite some time, the Breeders' Cup at Churchill. That's kind of why last year we didn't ship out west to run at Del Mar. We thought, let's just leave him at home and, win one more, kind of maybe of a lesser race, that he won. But at the same time, you know, stakes at Churchill Downs of any kind aren't easy. So we thought that was, you know, the path of least resistance, and we were kind of charting a big year this year. And so far, you know, it's been a success. It's, you know, I mean, he ran lights out in the Met Mile. He just didn't win. But I mean, you know, those kind of races, just to get on the board is kind of a accomplishment in itself. And obviously, he repeated, and you know, the race on Derby Day, and you know, the race at Keeneland's always going to be a big ask for us, because you know, we always give him the winter off. So we're kind of coming back with a horse that's probably, you know, 80% fit. Oh, sorry, I just got out of my car. That, you know, running against horses that are ready to go. So, you know, that, and going 7 furlongs at Keeneland off a layoff's always going to be tough. But, you know, he always runs great in that race, and it seems to just really be the right springboard to start his year. So, you know, I mean, this year we can't be any happier with the way it's worked out so far. And now we just got to keep him, you know, happy, and, you know, November be right around the corner probably.
You mentioned the Met. And there were some people who were critical of you choosing to run in the Met when you could have run in the True North. I don't need you to address that, but I would like you to talk about the nuance in the one-turn mile, the 7/8, the 3/4, and how you've learned and how you think it's best to sharpen a horse like this that's versatile, and you're ultimately going to, you know, run it at 3/4. So what is the mechanics, Ben, when you want a horse to be sharp enough for the 3/4? How beneficial is the cutback? In this case, it was a mile to 7/8. Talk about those decisions.
You know, I love in any horse to cut back. You know, I think, you know, I like to run, you know, I think it's a good idea to run them sometimes maybe a little further than their comfort zone is, and then you back them off. And, you know, I think we saw the end result on Saturday is that, you know, the horse is running on, you know, strong at the wire because he has that, you know, depth of stamina from probably running in a mile race, you know. And, you know, as he's gotten older, I think his stamina's gotten better. Maybe he's not, you know, he doesn't break track records like he did when he was, you know, a younger horse. But at the same time, he seems to have a little bit more stamina, and he seems to be, you know, he's more versatile in his, I mean, you know, he's very versatile for the jockey. He can kind of be close if need be, like he was on Derby Day, or, you know, when the pace is so hot, he can sit off it and still make that one run. So, yeah, and, you know, the Met Mile, look, that was a, maybe as far as, you know, it did, looking at it now, you say, man, that was a monster race with the, you know, Mind Your Biscuits and B Jersey. But at the time when you're looking at it, you know, maybe it wasn't on paper going in that it wasn't, you know, maybe your father's Met Mile, you know, I mean, there was no, you know, you didn't think there was any real, everybody kind of, I guess if you handicapped it, everybody had something to prove, I guess you could say. Mind Your Biscuits had run at a mile, but, you know, maybe his best distance is 6 or 7. And, you know, B Jersey was kind of a freakish performances, but hadn't done it at that level yet. So, I mean, I thought we won a logical prep. I mean, you know, the Churchill Downs handicap, or Churchill Downs Stakes is, you know, probably a pretty logical prep for the Met Mile, and we'd won one of those. So, I mean, you know, the Twitter trainers always are probably a second guess, but, at the time it was a difficult decision, but we, you know, winning the True North would have been great. But at the same time, we wanted to, I think in this business, I think you got to sometimes try for, you know, stretch and to go, you know, swing for the fences in these bigger races. Cause you know, they're not always won by the horse that, you know, everybody thinks is going to win.
Very true. And we certainly saw that over the weekend. As we go through the results the next couple of days, there's a few winners that, in fact, the Cornhusker, Doug Anderson's win with Remembering Rita, and Napal Chatterpaul went out to Chicago and won with that Cacho ND, doing exactly what the horse was supposed to have done in the Manhattan, which was go to the lead. They finally went with that style, and he wins a big race. I mean, it happens every Saturday almost.
I agree. It wouldn't be any fun if the horse that was supposed to win wins every time.
Oh, God. What would be the point, frankly? It's tough enough now.
Exactly.
A couple of elements. You talk about the business, and one of the things about Saturday, not just in New York, but in every venue, really, there were all kinds of owners that you're just delighted to see in these circumstances. That's always true of Catherine Ball and her family and her team. And for you to come and get a big win like this in New York, not that you haven't won in New York, but we just had Jonathan Thomas, who was with Todd probably about the same time that you were with Christophe. Talk about the satisfaction for you and KK.
Oh, it was, to win with KK is, to win a Great Stakes is great, no matter who you win it for, obviously. But to win for KK is somebody I've known, pretty much my whole life. And the Ball family, they've been such great, great owners and supporters of mine. I mean, it's hard to really put it into words, to be honest. It's just, the words don't really, I can't come up with them, how much it means. It means everything to win a race for people like that have, put their own blood, sweat, and tears and money and everything else in this business, for them to get, finally win one in New York. I mean, that was the first win for the Ball family in New York, I think, so that was huge. This is something that's been going on for, the better part of 50 years. So, it's amazing, really.
Oh, that is that. I didn't realize that was their first win. That's great. That is great. I did promise her that I wouldn't put my little video of her and the team in the tunnel at Churchill as the rain was pouring down, jumping up and down with. watching the paddock screen as when he won the Churchill Downs. So it's not going on. It's not going on onto YouTube. but I do want people to know it does exist.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was. I mean, I didn't see him. We don't watch the races together. I like to just be by myself. So I kind of just go off. On my own when the races are running and. I didn't even see KK until after the race, but I probably had a pretty ridiculous celebration on Derby Day as well, but hopefully nobody caught that on video.
I love it. You bring up a very funny nuance to racing when it comes to owners and trainers, and that's some like to sit together in the box, others they understand. I mean, when you say to an owner, I'll watch it over here and I'll see you after the race, is that how you introduce that to them?
Yeah, most of them, I just kind of walk to the track with the horse, and then I don't know if I've too many of them I've really told them that. I mean, KK and I just have an understanding. She's nervous and I don't really get nervous, but it's just I don't know what it is. It's just something I've always done. I've always just kind of watched races, kind of on my own or maybe with, the groom or sometimes my wife. But, I just kind of have my spot where I watch them. And, most of the time the owners go up to the box and everything. But I just feel comfortable being a little closer to the track and just, watching it. Usually I watch it, from the winner's circle or the apron or somewhere close. I kind of have my spots at each track where I watch the races from. And, most of the time, like you said, the owners are in the boxes and stuff. So I've never had anybody complain. But, it's just kind of something maybe I'm a little – even if it's superstition, it's just something, just habit, would be the right word.
I love it. Before we go, Ben Colebrook with us. You had a win last week, and we spent a lot of time watching – the maiden two-year-old races at Ellis because they've become so productive and they're they're guaranteed to produce serious stake two-year-olds for the last quarter of the year. You had a horse, a Maryland bred, who was is a painter, colt, that's out of a mare that Tim Keefe, I remember, a good Maryland bred named Cosmo's Buddy, an outflanker mare, and she was like a Maryland Million type of a filly, and her name caught my eye on, I think this was Wednesday on July 4th, that Nick's Go for the KRA. How did you land them as a client, and what kind of horse is this?
I think he's a very nice horse. He's been working really well at home. He worked, actually, I have a pretty nice flatter filly that hadn't run yet for Claiborne that, you know, I kind of thought, I mean, I really think Kylie of it, I still do. And she kind of, they worked together once for a pole. And I'd say it's pretty even. If you had to split it up, maybe she was going a little bit better than him. But he'd kind of worked it out, worked everything he'd been with. She'd been working everything she's been working with. So, you know, the last work was going to be from the gate. And they just, you know, they blitzed from the gate. They went 47 flat. You know, at the end, he was probably going a little bit better than her. He was probably maybe a work or two ahead of her. It just kind of caught my eye. And I was planning on, you know, running in Bedellis at some point. But after that work, I said, you know what, he's ready to go. I'm just going to stick him in this 5/8 race. It's probably a little too short for him. But, you know, it'll get a good education. And, you know, if he's good enough, maybe he wins. But, you know, I thought, you know, Steve's horse looked, the $400,000 orb in there looked like a real runner. So I said, you know, well, if we run second, we'll find a 3/4 or even a 7/8 road race down the road. But, no, he was really impressive. Kind of ran to the way he's been training. And I think KRA wants to go up to Saratoga with him at some point. So we'll, you know, not sure which race up there. It'll probably be one of the first two. I mean, Sanford comes up a little bit quick, but, you know, at the same time, he did run on Lasix, and, you know, they might want to do that. You know, it'll all depend. I'll talk to the KRA, and the KRA have been, you know, really great. They've sent me kind of plenty of horses. I have Mr. Crow for him. He's a very fast horse. Didn't really have the kind of fell out of the gate last time, but I actually met them through their representative here, who's June Park, who I met during my time working for Fred Seitz. So that's kind of how I got the introduction there, was through June, and they've been great to train for, and you know, they have this horse in the sale in April at OBS, and you know, by good fortune, they just decided to keep him. They liked him, and you know, he kind of didn't, his work was probably a little disappointing because I think he missed a work, they told me. He had some kind of issue before. He didn't, the first preview work before the actual Breeze show, he didn't break off or refused to go or something. He was kind of funny mentally at the track there. And then they worked him for the Breeze show, and he probably was a little bit, you know, had he been able to work once before, he probably would have been a little better. But you know, the work probably, they didn't have the action on him, and it ended up being a, you know, total blessing, because now they've got the horse and he looks like he could be a, you know, a good one for him. So he's exciting.
That's very cool. For those of you that didn't catch the name, it's Nick's, spelled like the New York Knickerbocker Knicks, Nick's Go. And you can see the race from Wednesday, the fifth race at Ellis Park. And since you mentioned the Claiborne filly, what's her name?
Her name is Heels, like high heels, and she probably will run on the 15th at Ellis Park.
Very good. Well, we're going to keep a tab on the 2-year-olds, and you mentioned Mr. Yeah. Crow. He won at Saratoga last summer. I happened to watch the race with Todd Pletcher, who had him at the time. Is he coming for something
at Saratoga?
Yeah, I think
we got him penciled in to go to the Tail of the Cat, you know, restricted race for horses that haven't won a stake. So I think he loves Saratoga, so it's a no-brainer to bring him back up there. And, you know, he ran a good race at Churchill when he won, and then he came back and ran a good race. Just ended up hooking an absolute freakish performance by Chief Chickatran, so I probably butchered that pronunciation. But anyway, and then he just kind of, you know, he didn't break. He kind of, Joe Rocco was on him and said when he broke, he just totally lost his hind end and fell.
fell flat on his face, and he is a horse that's usually relatively forwardly placed. So that, and then he kind of wanted to drag Joe to the front once he didn't break any good. So I think you just draw a line through that, and we'll go back up for, you know, skip the Vanderbilt and go for the tail of the cap.
Smart. It's one of those non-winners of a sweepstakes during the calendar year kind of thing. And those are, they're in addition to being good spots for the horses, they're typically great betting races as well. Nice. And I'm going to throw one more at you. What's next for Blame the Frog?
Blame the Frog is going to run in the Schuylerville opening day. So that's the plan. Nominations just closed, but, you know, her, just looking at her numbers and her progression, she's run better each time we've ran her. And, you know, I don't think she's a pure, you know, just burner sprinter. She's quick out of the gate, but last time she showed a little bit of a added dimension. Brian just kind of took her off the pace a little bit. She flew home, so we're really excited about her. I think Louis Saez is going to ride her in the Schuylerville, and being by Blame, you know, she's probably a filly that, you know, should get better. I mean, you know, Blame, or he's a great stallion, but they're not really meant to be running a, you know, 4.5 in April like she was. But she just came in from Robbie Harris, is ready to go, you know, and had been showing speed with him. And we just kind of talked. It's for a new owner that's a great guy, kind of new in the business. And we just said, you know, let's get some action going for him. And we ran her at Keeneland, and she hooked a Wesley Ward horse, but was second. Runs a good race, you know, at Churchill, where there was a horse kind of pressing her the whole way of Liam Conley's Into Mischief filly that came back and won the next time. And then she got beat by Brett Calhoun's Shanghai Bobby that came back and was second to McPeak's real nice filly in the debutante. I mean, albeit she was second by a pretty long margin, but Kenny's filly to me looks like the, I don't know that we've seen a two-year-old filly of that caliber yet this year. I mean, she was awfully impressive at Churchill.
Very much, and I'm looking forward actually to talking to Kenny. The win by Darlin, this weekend, and I want to get back to the conversation about that filly as well from last week. Churchill 2 weeks ago, closing Saturday. Ben, you mentioned this owner, Hugh Bishop. This is a homebred. So the guy's brand new in the business, and he's got a horse like this immediately?
Yeah, well, he's got a pretty good tutor. Seth Hancock and he actually met down in Sarasota, where, you know, Seth spent some time in the winter, and they ended up you know, meeting, and they've kind of, you know, become friends. And Robbie Harris is involved in it all too. I think he picked out the mare for Mr. Bishop, and you know, he's been great. He's a fun guy. He loves horses, loves racing. He loves these handicaps, and he's hopefully, you know, the good run will continue, and, you know, he's probably going to be a guy that's going to be around for a long time. You'll probably hear his name quite a bit. I think he's got the bug, and he's a great guy. And obviously, you know, having Mr. Hancock as a kind of sounding board to kind of bounce ideas off of and stuff is a huge advantage for somebody.
Wow. Well, this looks like looks savvy all the way around in terms of the mare, who was in full with Blame when he bought her. Tremendous. The mare happens to be a half to Stake Winners Classic Alliance and Sky Alliance. So, unbelievable. We'll keep an eye out. Blame the Frog for the Schuylerville. Heels is coming up at Ellis. And Nick's Go coming to Saratoga as well, probably for the Saratoga special. Ben Colebrook, always delighted to call you and be able to talk to you about successes. And Limousine Liberal just keeps winning, now moving toward $2 million in earnings, and he's not going anywhere. He's going to be around.
No, he's not. I think he will. He just seems like he's like a good bottle of wine. He just keeps getting better as he ages. So, no, he's amazing, and, you know, I think it's a credit to the
to the balls and you know, the patience that they show with him and letting me kind of, you know, we run him for a season and then we give him a break. And I think that's part of the reason why he's, you know, able to do what he's done.
Amazing. Well, and your management, obviously, a big part of the success. Ben Colebrook, and you follow him on Twitter, Colebrook Racing. And a perfect pair, actually, having Jonathan Thomas and Ben Colebrook this first hour, because they're very similar, polished and professional, and winning the respect and appreciation of owners, new people in the business, existing established people in the business. Great to congratulate both of them this morning. Let's take a timeout. Johnny D joins us next. We'll get Johnny's take on what's gone on the last couple of weeks, see where he is shaking out. Plus, we'll find out about the Firecracker contest at ExpressBet and what's ahead for the Saratoga and Del Mar seasons. Nicole Russo to follow, DRF, for the sale, the Horses of Racing Age today. And the Keeneland, do we want to talk about the Keeneland changes with Nicole? But the yearling market begins tomorrow, Phasic July. Back after this, Johnny D, Hour 2.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.